Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear fellow redeemed, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I'm not going to ask you to stand up this morning and disclose with everyone here what you're truly afraid of. But each and every one of us here this morning probably have some sort of fear. Maybe it's a fear of heights. Maybe it's a fear of spiders and some sort of insect. Maybe it's a fear of getting caught in a conversation with someone that you really don't see eye to eye with. We all have different fears. So I'm going to share with you what my biggest fear is. Being trapped. I'm a little bit claustrophobic, and it kind of makes me cringe a little bit talking to you about it, because I can't imagine being caught in a tight space. Being trapped is a scary thing. Well, in 1917, the Collins family of Kentucky, they found a series of caves that stretched along this entire road. As a way to make an extra dollar, they opened these caves as an attraction, but they proved to make little to no money. So one day, Floyd Collins, the youngest son of the Collins family, decided to go and explore one of the smaller caves, one of the caves that no one had been in yet. But as he made his way through this cave, he found it very, very difficult to maneuver. He inched his way up inclines, crept his way down steep declines, and found himself coming to one narrow opening, a 10-inch by 20-inch opening. On the other side, he shone his lantern, and the light shone a huge room. Floyd thought of all of the possibilities of this cave for his family, so he did it. He crept his way through that 10-inch by 20-inch gap, but halfway through, his light source, his only light, began to flicker. Knowing that in such a dangerous cave without a light he would surely be dead, he began to return the way he came, only to dislodge a 27-pound rock, putting him in a stone straitjacket. For 17 days, rescuers tried to get to Floyd Collins, but every attempt was unsuccessful. Can you imagine being trapped like that? It's a very scary, very difficult thing to think about. Being trapped is scary, but as Christians sitting here this morning, are we so concerned about spiritual entrapment? Each and every day, the devil dangles temptations in front of our faces, and he gets us to fall into those temptations, doesn't he? Our sin puts us into very tight spaces with our Savior. And yet, in our scripture reading for this morning from Ephesians, we hear that with Christ, with the light, we have eternal light. Because darkness is deadly, yet the Christ breeds eternal life. We read from Ephesians chapter 5. We begin with verse 8, going to verse 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of all light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." In our lesson from Ephesians, Paul calls the Ephesians darkness. He doesn't say they were similar to darkness or they were like darkness. They were darkness in every sense. They were living pagan lives, living lives of darkness, separated from Christ. And the worst part is that they did not see the consequences of their sin. Adam and Eve saw the consequences of their sin pretty quickly, didn't they? After they took a bite of that fruit, They ran and hid because they knew that they were naked. They saw how their sin had altered their minds. And yet these Ephesians did not see the consequences that their sin would have. Not only were they living as pagans, but they were drawing others to themselves, getting them to live in this pagan way. Do you know somebody who is living in a way that will have eternal consequences? As I went through high school, I became very good friends with a man who we're going to call Bill. Already in eighth grade, we were weightlifting together. We played three sports together. We went fishing together on the weekends. We became very good friends. We even sang in a choir together, professing our faith, singing the words of Christ. And now just 3 years ago, Bill came out of the closet. Bill is now living in an open homosexual lifestyle. And on top of that, he writes articles bashing his friends, bashing his family, bashing the Lutheran lifestyle that he once knew, and even bashing the Lutheran education that he was brought up in for 18 years. That hurts. That's difficult because you see someone go from the light, someone who knows Christ, someone who is living in a way that is exactly in accordance with God's will, and now he is living in darkness. Utter, profound darkness. And that's hard because as a family member or as friends, you know the consequences that that darkness will have. I don't tell you this story about Bill to bash him in any way. I tell you this story because this has touched me in a way that not many things have. So who is your Bill? Who do you know that is living in a way that is contrary to God's will, that is living in the darkness? Because apart from Christ, living in that darkness is deadly. And yet, what is Satan best at? Satan is best at getting us to believe his lies, isn't he? Satan dangles those lies in front of us and says, you know what? Your way of thinking is so much more important than the way than what God has to say to you. You know what, man? Maybe you've heard this one. If God truly loved you, wouldn't he want you to be happy? Wouldn't he want you to live the way that you want to? If God truly loved you, that's what he would say. And yet that's not what Scripture tells us, is it? Scripture tells us to follow our Lord and Savior, to trust in him only, and through faith in him and by his grace, that is how we are saved. Some people think that living in the way that they want to, well, that's true freedom. But brothers and sisters, let's not be fooled. That's not true freedom. That's spiritual entrapment. That's sitting in the palm of the devil, and he is holding you firmly. And that's what these Ephesians were. They were darkness. But did you hear that four-letter word? This is what they were. They were formerly darkness, but now they are children of the light. Growing up in Michigan, I quickly found one of my favorite hobbies, fishing. I love to fish, and I love to walleye fish. So my dad and I, we would head out onto Saginaw Bay, out onto Lake Huron, probably once a week, once every couple weeks to chase these walleyes. Well, the first thing I found out was how quickly the weather could change. As you're about 7 miles out fishing, rolling on about 1 foot waves, all of a sudden the wind switches to the northeast and you have 4 foot waves coming at your boat. Not only that, but the fog rolls in and you can't tell which way you're going. The only thing that you have to get you back to safety is a very tall light tower that is right by the boat launch. So you point your boat towards the light and you head back for safety. That light is Christ in our lives, isn't it? As we are rocking back and forth with the sin that we face every single day, as the fogginess of temptations roll in, It's hard to tell which way to turn. And yet in Ephesians 5, Paul tells us where we can turn to. Christ is our light. And now he calls us his children of the light. As you sit out here with your families this morning, or you think about your families, families know each other better than anybody else does, don't they? You grow up with each other, you live with each other, and you always want what's best for each other, don't you? You always have best intentions in mind, and now Christ calls us his children. I don't know if we can comprehend what that means for us sitting here. Because a father and a mother always care for their children no matter what. And that's what Christ tells us that he will do. And as you raise your children, I have yet to experience this, but they don't just stand up one day and start walking, do they? No. They wobble and they fall down. And if you're a good parent, you probably take them by the hands and walk with them and help them and let them know that you are there. And that's exactly what our Heavenly Father promises for us. He says, we are his children, children of the light. But why should we walk as children of the light? So contrary, so countercultural to what everybody else says is the right way to live. Well, Matthew 5 tells us, walk as children of the light, that they may see your good deeds and worship your Father in heaven. God calls us his children, and what a comforting fact that is. And now we are to walk in that way so that others may see the way that we live and then worship our Father in heaven. I tried to talk to Bill 2, 3, 4 times in different ways. I told him, this is what the Bible says. You're not living in the way that God wants you to live. He didn't want to hear it. For 18 years, he heard what God had done for him. And now he is choosing an alternative lifestyle, one that is of darkness. And that's hard, isn't it? To know somebody who is living in darkness. Well, today, as Christians, we get the comfort and assurance of knowing that we have an eternal home in heaven because God calls us his children. Children of the light, living in a way that is with Christ, in accordance with Christ. And will we fail? Every day. I fail and you fail. Yet God gives us the promise, the hope, the comforting assurance of that eternal home with him. May we walk each and every day as his children of the light. Amen.